You are listening to the weekly message from Woodbridge Community Church in Irvine. Our vision as a church is to help all people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Today's message, titled, Who is the Holy Ghost?, is the first message in the series, Ghost Stories, a look at the supernatural and the third person of the Trinity, and is taught by Pastor Frank Winans. For more information, visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org.
Good morning. Did you enjoy your extra hour of sleep this morning? Is anybody sleepy in here? You shouldn't be. Oh, a few people. Hey, would you all stand with me? So we read the scripture this morning. We read from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 9 through 24. A really amazing story found in the pages of the book of Acts. And so stir this in with me. It says, "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and acclaimed, 'This man is rightly called the great power of God.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered their money and said, 'Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' Peter answered, 'May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hopes that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin.' And then Simon answered, 'Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me.' Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We again, Lord, have left our homes to come to this house, to this place of meeting, of gathering. And we gather this morning with a specific purpose. We come to worship God this morning. We come to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. We come as seekers. We come to learn. We come to give praise and to give thanks. We ask, Lord, that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning, so that we might understand the things freely given to us in the Holy Scripture. We pray, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified this day. And this we pray for your kingdom and for no one else's. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray these things. And all those who love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. Y'all may be seated. I want to thank all those that shared their cardboard testimonies last Sunday, right? That was a very special, personal, intimate. They took a risk by sharing their lives with us, didn't they, on those cardboard testimonies. And so can we just thank all those that did that as well, because that was really cool. That was awesome. It was good. By the way, Friday was a blast, and we did have a great time. I trust that you survived the high holy day of Halloween last night. And, people love dressing up on Friday night. We had so many people dressed up here. It was great. And, Halloween's a fun Halloween in that regard. It's a fun holiday in that regard. But, Halloween's a funny holiday, isn't it? Halloween's roots is rooted in the Druids and, paganism. And on October the 31st, in that religion, they believed that the veil between the living and the dead was the thinnest, and there was an opportunity for the ghosts to pass over into the living, and trick or treat was kind of like, if you don't give me something, I'm going to cast a spell on you. Halloween is a holiday that celebrates really the supernatural, when you think about it, at least in its roots. It's my least favorite of the holidays, by the way. Last night, so our neighbors love Halloween. And so we have a haunted house they set up right across the street from our house. And it's all wrapped in plastic, and we have people lined up down the street, and you hear the chainsaws going off and people screaming, and you go into their, they make their front yard a big haunted house, and till 11 o'clock at night we hear screaming and ghostly music, and I roll my eyes and say, oh, but you know what's kind of funny? My neighbors love him. She's Jewish. He's Catholic. It's a mixed marriage. But they both have received Jesus, and it's kind of cool now. What they do is they have, hey, come to our haunted house and bring canned goods, and they give to the poor. So God bless them. It's kind of cool. So we had a good time. Now, I want to ask you a question. Have you noticed that we humans have an attraction to the supernatural? Have you noticed that we humans have an attraction to the supernatural? Look at the cartoons that our kids watch, the TV shows that are on the air. How many of you have already bought your tickets to Star Wars? Did you know it's December 18th? Star Wars is already coming out. They're already selling tickets. Star Wars. Have you noticed that we humans have an attraction to the things of the supernatural? Both young and old, in general, we humans have this attraction. Why is that? Why is that? Where does that come from, right? I want to say something this morning as we begin, and here it comes. Our faith, Christianity, is a cognitive faith. Christianity, I want to say this morning, is an intelligent faith. It's in a faith of reason. Christianity is a faith of reason. One of my favorite verses is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 18, and I like this. It's God speaking. This is what God says. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. I like that in the very beginning of the book of Isaiah. God says, give me your brain. Think with me. I've given you that ability. Reason with God. Creator reasons with creation. It's a great verse. God says, reason with me and I'll prove myself to you. And he has, and he does. On Thursday, I was at a retirement party for our police chaplain, Dave Maggart. Our police chief. Dave Maggart is now retired after 13 years as our police chief. And what a great guy. And we had an amazing celebration. It's 450 people in this goodbye party. And a retirement party. And I was sitting next to a professor. He's actually a guy that runs one of the universities here in Irvine. And I was sitting at table 2. And this guy's got 3 chaplains sitting at his table, and him and his wife are there. And he runs one of the universities here in Irvine. You understand? And I told these guys you guys are safe today. You've got the chaplain table. You know, if there's ever an earthquake, you guys are going to be safe. I was teasing with him. Everything's fine. And we're rolling along. And he was telling me about this, the university, the president of, and all this and that. And he says, you know, we have a lot of atheists at our university as professors. I said, yeah, I've heard that. I go, well, I'm a reformed atheist. And he gave me a look. I wish I could have shown it to you. Because he looked over at me, he said, really? How did that happen? Right? You've just opened the door. So I just shared with him. Man, by the time I was 20, I was just an adamant atheist. There is no God. Origin, my life is from nothing. And because that's so, what possible meaning do I have in life? And he's listening with his wife. Morals are relative, and when you die, you're worm bait. I'm a pure atheist. I said, hey, man, I had three friends of mine die. I was really depressed, and my worldview, I could not live with it. And I started sharing Christ with him. And in the end, I told him, Christianity is the most intelligent faith on the planet. It's historically accurate, archaeologically accurate, geographically accurate, prophetically unbelievable, and Jesus changes people's lives. And I told this guy, as a kid in high school, found myself riding in the back of police cars. And now look at me, I'm in uniform. He smiled. I witnessed to Christ. Our faith is an intelligent faith. I want to say this. I lean toward this, more of an intellectual side. My head needs to be converted before my heart could be converted. That's just me, okay? Other people are different, and I get it. Christianity is an intelligent faith. Are you with me? Let me say this. Christianity is a supernatural faith. Am I right? Think about it. Who is the person that we follow? Jesus Christ. Is Jesus' birth normal? Supernatural, wouldn't you say? Is Jesus' life normal? No. He rose from the dead. Is his life normal? It's supernatural. Our faith is rooted in the supernatural. Do you understand? Not only that, the church was born, was birthed in the supernatural. I want you to get this morning. It's an intelligent cognitive faith, and yet this is a faith that is very supernatural. It is both. Am I wrong? Am I wrong? For the next few weeks coming out of Halloween and heading into the first weeks of December, we're going to go on a journey into the supernatural as we study the Holy Ghost. Now, another name for the Holy Ghost is what? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, it's the same thing. In this series, we're going to study who is the Holy Ghost in us, walking by the Holy Ghost, the ministry and power of the Holy Ghost, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Sound like fun? During this series, you'll be hearing stories of the supernatural miracles and healings that have taken place within this church body over the years. I believe this series will encourage you. It will bless your faith. People, after this series, I believe that you will be better equipped as a follower of Jesus, and you're going to be way more empowered. So we're starting a series, and we're calling it Ghost Stories. Ghost Stories. Holy Ghost Stories. What is the Holy Ghost? People, when I first became a Christian, I came to Jesus first, and all of a sudden I started hearing about the Holy Ghost, young Christian. And I pictured the Holy Ghost like Obi-Wan Kenobi talking to Luke Skywalker on the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars, the first Star Wars in 1977, 78. And he says it's the Holy Spirit, the Force lives in all living things. It flows through us and in this and out of this. And Obi-Wan is a Jedi master, is describing to this young man, the Force. I pictured the Holy Spirit as Star Wars, the Force. Nice. All right? Kind of, I saw it as a mysterious power to be harnessed and used, right? Are you with me? In the book of Acts, we read that Simon in Samaria kind of had the same worldview a little bit. Simon is a magician. He's a sorcerer. He's a guy that's used to casting spells and using the supernatural. He's wrapped up in the supernatural, in the dark side of the supernatural, I might add. Philip comes preaching in Samaria the gospel. Simon believes. He was baptized. He follows Philip. Later, when Peter shows up, and Simon saw that the laying on of hands by Peter, he was like, people are getting the Holy Spirit from Peter laying hands on him. And what does Peter, or what does Simon do? Dude, you got to show me how to do this. I want to be able to harness the Force the way you do. How did that go? Simon, poor Simon. says, Peter answered, may your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of the Spirit with money or gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in hopes that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart, right? Simon, very young in his faith, was clueless to the nature of the Holy Spirit. He thought the Holy Spirit was a mysterious power, a force to be harnessed and used as he has done with witchcraft. How can I get more of it? Do y'all get that? How can I get more of it? Show me. Teach me the ways of the force. I'll pay you. Okay, well, for one thing, the Holy Spirit is not an it to be used. The Holy Spirit is not an it to be manipulated or to be used. Listen to Jesus on the night before he died as he talks about the coming Holy Spirit. John 14, 15 through 17. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. John 14, 26. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. John 15, 26. When the Helper comes, whom I will send from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he bears witness of me. John 16, 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and no longer beholds me. And I'm concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whoever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what it is to come. For he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All these things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a what? It's a he. Do you understand? Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a person. Write this down. Take notes with me this morning. Very important, very foundational. We're going to be building in this series one building block upon another. Here's the foundation. You got to get this down. The Holy Spirit is not an it, but a he. Get that in your mind. The Holy Spirit is not an it. It's a he. How many times did Jesus call him he in those verses? 20 times. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is not an it to be used for your purposes, but a divine being to be understood and yielded to. He is the third person of the Trinity. You got that? That's where Simon went wrong. The Holy Ghost is not an it to be used for your purposes or be manipulated by you. The Holy Spirit is a divine being to be understood and yielded to. Welcome this morning to a supernatural mystery of the third person of the Trinity. Many theologians say the Holy Spirit is the Holy Ghost is kind of the neglected person of the Trinity or the forgotten person of the Trinity, and probably so to some point. God is a mystery, friends. Great verse. Got to get this one down too. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is a good verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul says, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. People, there's no greater mystery than God's nature himself. Do I hear an amen? Right? According to the scriptures, how many gods are there? According to the scriptures, how many gods are there? How many gods do Christians believe in? Answer?
One.
One. How many gods are there according to the scriptures?
One.
How many gods does the Christians worship?
One.
Deuteronomy 6:4. Here's the verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The Jewish people call this the Shema. The Shema. It is the battle cry of monotheism. Jesus himself, when asked, what is the number one commandment? What does Jesus quote? The Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you will love the Lord your God. It's the number one commandment, right? Sounds simple? Is that easy? You got it? Listen to this. The first book of the Bible in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. People, who is God talking to in Genesis 1 when he said, let us make man in our image? Who is God talking to? Was God talking to God? I still remember Dr. Mitchell says, this is called inter-Trinitarian communication. You should write that down. People ask, well, what did you study in church today? Well, we talked about inter-Trinitarian communication. God speaking to God. There's a plurality in the Godhead. Good luck. There it is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is one in essence, and yet there's a plurality of the Godhead in the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They are perfect in harmony and in unity of relationship. There's a oneness in God. Jesus speaks of this oneness and this plurality in the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28:18-19. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son. And there he is, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. Mystery? Absolutely. Does the Bible only speak of the Trinity in the New Testament? Answer? I have some rabbi friends. Chaplain Winans, you know, the Trinity's not in the Old Testament. You Christians, it's a New Testament theology. No. Okay, this is a fun verse to give to a rabbi. Because he gave me a dirty look. Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus was born. Isaiah 48:12-16. You gotta love this verse because it's a great one. Okay, I'm gonna read this verse to you and then I'm gonna ask you the question, who is speaking? You ready? Isaiah 48:12-16. Who is speaking here? Listen to me, O Jacob, even Israel, whom I called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. Surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. Assemble all you and listen. Who among them has declared these things? The Lord loves him. He will carry out his good pleasure on Babylon, and his arm will be against the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Indeed, I have called him. I have brought him, and he will make his ways successful. Come near to me. Listen to this. From the first, I have not spoken in secret. From the time it took place, I was there. And now the Lord God has sent me and his Spirit. Who is me? Who is this me who is the first and the last, the founder of the earth, who spread out the heavens? Who is this me that the Lord God has sent and his spirit? Right? Right? Now, was that a New Testament passage? Old. The rabbi was not happy. That's just my world. I'm telling you here, the plurality of the Godhead is both in the Old and the New Testament. It's a mystery. How y'all doing? You getting this? The Bible says to be good stewards of the mysteries of God. The greatest mystery of God is the nature of God himself. He blows my mind. It's awesome. It's amazing. Theologians scratch their head. It's called a mystery. Even the Apostle Paul, the great learned Paul, says mystery. Now, don't let this Trinity thing confuse you too much, because the fingerprints of God's nature is all over his creation. How many of you are there? Okay, I want you to check right now. Check. How many of you are there? Are you sure there's one of you? Would you check, please? Look. How many? There's one of you? Are you sure there's only one of you? Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." How many of you are there? There's one of you. But the scriptures describes you in three parts too. How you doing? You are body, soul, and spirit. Human being made in the image of God. Where'd you get that from? You know, it's so fun. Did you get, my father has a really cool dog, Sky. Sky's a great dog. I was over last night watching the World Series with my dad. Sky is a cool dog, man. I'll be laying on the ground. Sky just comes up to me, lays down next to me. First, sometimes Sky will like look at me and kind of like, "Hey, you want to fight? You want to play?" She kind of squats a little bit and then she jumps around when you come in the room, right? But after a while, Sky will, I'll be laying down. She'll kind of lay next to me and kind of let me pet her. And she's a cool little dog. And it's amazing, there's something behind that dog moving its eyes. There's something behind that dog moving its eyes. And you know what? When animals die, whatever it is that's behind there doesn't move the eyes anymore. Does that dog have eternity in her heart? No. But she has a soul, but not an eternal spirit. Sky is a two-dimensional being according to the scripture. There's no eternity within Sky, but there's a spiritual non-material force that's moving her eyes. The Bible says that you are a three-dimensional being of body, soul, and eternal spirit. The Bible says that God has placed eternity in your hearts. God has placed supernatural in your hearts. Things beyond the grave, things non-material, not just material. You are a complex being, and guess who made you that way? God did. God did. How you doing this morning? You okay? You doing all right? So who is the Holy Ghost? Take notes on this. You ready? The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. You gotta put that in. We started our service this morning singing, "This I Believe." The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, and can I tell you this? And you gotta get this. It's very solid. The Holy Spirit, spoken of in the Old and the New Testament, is associated with power. The Holy Spirit is associated with power. You gotta put that in and think it through. Sandy Patty, a long time ago, sang a great song called "Not by Might, Not by Power, But by My Spirit, Says the Lord." Where did she get those lyrics? She stole them from the Bible. In Zechariah chapter 4, it's a good verse. "Then he said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord.'" Jesus, at the age of 30, goes to the Jordan River. He's baptized in the Jordan River. And what happens to Jesus at the Jordan River? Anyone? Something supernatural happened to Jesus at the Jordan River. It says the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and the Gospels describe the Holy Spirit like a dove. Go figure. When Jesus came out of the Jordan River, was his life changed? What did Jesus start doing after he came up out of the river? Began his ministry. Was his ministry a powerful one? What did Jesus do in his ministry? Did he raise the dead? Did he heal the lame and the sick? Did he feed 5,000 with fish and bread? Does he walk on water? How did he do that? Luke chapter 4, verse 14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee. Look at the words right after. In the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread through the whole countryside. The Holy Spirit is associated with power. Power. As a matter of fact, Jesus told his disciples after he arose from the dead, hey guys, here's the battle plan. I want you to stay in Jerusalem and wait. Why? Acts 1, 6 through 8. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time to restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive what? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes into your lives, and then you'll have power to go live the life I've called you to live. Here's a great verse. I love this verse. I quote this verse all the time. Here's a great verse for you to memorize. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and strength and self-discipline. You might notice, Pastor Frank, every Sunday I put my hand on my shoulder right before I come up to preach. And you know what I say? Lord, I pray you help Pastor Frank this morning. Remind him, God, that you've not given him a spirit of timidity, but you've given him a spirit of power and strength. So get up there and do what you want him to do, Lord. God has given you a what? Spirit of timidity? Do you know that inside of you dwells power? The same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Did you all know that? We'll talk about that in a few weeks. It's pretty cool stuff. I want you to write this down. The power of the Holy Spirit was active in the Old Testament in creation. Check out Genesis 1. The Spirit of the Lord moved upon. The Holy Spirit is active in the Old Testament in creation of the universe. The Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was active in falling upon people to do miraculous things. Samson is the greatest gymnast, guy hitting the gym all the time, right? Samson says the power of the Lord would fall on Samson. This guy would tear apart lions and bears. The power of God would fall on a mere mortal. It was almost like Greek, like Hercules and Zeus. Samson was the man when the power of God's Spirit came on him. And you read that all throughout the Old Testament. You read through that all Testament. I want you to understand something. The power of the Holy Spirit is displayed in the Old Testament in this. In this. The power of the Holy Spirit is given to you and I in this. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Last week, I said, I read Jesus one summer. I went from an atheist to an agnostic to a deist, and here's the big leap. I became a Christian. Well, how did that happen? Isaiah 53 is the verse that converted me. It's the same verse that converted Rabbi Feldman that preached here yesterday as a Jew. Isaiah 53 speaks of the Messiah coming, dying on a cross, scourged, flogged, silent before his accusers, grave assigned with wicked men, this person being the righteous one who dies for the sins of many. written 700 years before Jesus was born. Jesus comes and fulfills Isaiah 53 perfectly. Now, how did Isaiah do that? How did Isaiah know 700 years, way in the future, this is going to happen in complete detail? How does Isaiah do that? Answer? God. Specifically, the third person of the Trinity. Men moved by the Holy Spirit. Can anyone in here please tell me who's going to win the World Series 57 years from now? Go. A man of faith. I think I say the Cubs. Hey. The only way you can do this stuff is if God dwells in you. It's a manifestation of power if you can predict the future. The Bible is filled with it. Do you understand? I believe. My faith is a cognitive faith. It's an intelligent faith. It's a faith of reason. It's still faith, friends. I admit it. If I go to Vegas and they spin the roulette wheel and it lands on number 23, 28 times in a row, and all of a sudden I bet on 23, it's still faith, but man, I believe that's a pretty good bet. I'm telling you, my faith is an intelligent faith. I've placed my chips on Jesus intellectually, I believe. I'm telling you, friends, I've been a believer of Jesus now for 23 years. I have seen the most amazing things of the supernatural that have blown my mind. I have seen the most amazing things in the supernatural that have blown my mind. It's a supernatural faith. It's a supernatural faith. It's very important this morning that we start this series on the Holy Ghost on this building block. And we're going to build our series upon this. The Holy Ghost is not an it, but he's a he. He's a third person of the triunity. He's associated with great workings of power in both the Old Testament and the New. Friends, when I first became a Christian, I was trying to understand the Holy Ghost, and I first thought like Simon. It's a force to be used. But then I realized it isn't an it, but it's a he. And my thinking changed from how I can get more of it to how he can get more of me. Can I say that again? Holy Spirit is not an it that I'm going to get more of it to use. The Holy Spirit is a person that needs more of me to be used. It's a whole different paradigm shift. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. Why does Jesus send the Holy Spirit? Do you know? Because we have a need for the supernatural in our lives. We have a need of transformation and spiritual maturity in our lives. We need power in our lives to live the Christian life. And people, that's why Jesus sent the Holy Ghost. Pretty simple, isn't it? Are you with me? Did you know that I think our air conditioners aren't working? Do you know why? Can anyone guess? Because we're up an hour later. We're in this building an hour later. So it's good for you to be uncomfortable this morning. That's good. Okay. Next week, Holy Spirit in you. The next week, walking by the Holy Spirit. The next week, the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The next 2 weeks, as we head into Christmas and everybody gets gifts, guess what? The Holy Spirit gives gifts to the church, gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to do a series called Ghost Stories, and you're going to hear really cool Holy Ghost stories in these next few weeks that are going to encourage you and bless you and touch you. Does it make sense? There's a song that I cannot get out of my head, and we're going to sing it as we close. And this is kind of an invitation because we're going to ask the Holy Ghost to come and help us in this next series to understand him more freely. Jesus, the night before he died, was very intentional about trying to explain to his disciples what's coming next with the third person of the Trinity coming upon the church, coming in their lives. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Hey, friends, the Holy Spirit has been the teaching and theology of the Holy Spirit has been abused a lot in the church. There's been a lot of landmines that you could step on that will get you hurt on this. We're going to stay clear of those. We're going to walk clean, and we're going to have a blast. I want you to sing this song with us as we close today. And this song is just an invitation saying, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I want you to come fill this place. Flood the atmosphere. I think that's a cool song. Would you stand with me as we sing this song?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, we want to come before you as we begin this series. Holy Spirit, I know this is true. We know this is true. You're not an it to be manipulated. You are not something to be used. Holy Spirit, Jesus teaches that you are a he. The scriptures teach that you are the third person of the Godhead. Holy Spirit, you are mysterious. The whole Godhead's mysterious. Mysterious. Supernatural. Holy Spirit, as we as a church walk down this road, we ask that you would help us understand you and your ministry. Holy Spirit, last Sunday we had people standing on the stage that were sharing about how Jesus had changed their life from the inside out. Actually, that whole series is about that. We recognize that that was a supernatural act when God changes a human being. That all of us, inside of us, have supernatural happening in our lives. We recognize that that is you, Holy Spirit. Jesus says that you are with us, but you will be in us. That you dwell in us. That transformation happens from the inside out. Holy Spirit, help us to understand your role in our lives. Teach us how we can work closer together to glorify Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that there'd be less of a mystery upon this church when we're done with this series. And Holy Spirit, I ask and pray that you would just move mightily upon this church. That you would bring power upon this church. That you would continue to do the supernatural upon this church. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Move inside of us and within this church body. We're excited about this journey. Would you fill this series, Holy Spirit? Spirit of truth, would you bring truth into our lives? Not error, truth. And bring power, dynamite into our lives. Fill us, Holy Spirit, I pray. Fill us and use us. Woodbridge, would you agree with that prayer by saying amen? Can we sing that again? And this is just an invitation. Remember talking about invitations? Hey guys, don't miss this series. Don't miss it. If you miss a week, it's going to be on the website where it's a building block and it builds one upon the other upon the other. Don't miss this. Don't miss this because you're going to see amazing ghost stories being told here over these next weeks heading into Christmas. And we're going to have a blast. I've never been so excited about a series in my life, personally. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here.
Thank you for listening to Woodbridge Community Church's weekly podcast. If you would like more information about our current series or to hear past messages, please visit woodbridgecommunitychurch.org. There you can learn about how we can help you meet, know, and follow Jesus.